Amen. Woo! Sorry, I don't know if I'm just the biggest fan of DJ Worship or what, but I love it. We're going to kind of leave the atmosphere the way it is, and we're going to do tithes and communion kind of together. So I'm going to have Alex make a selection for something to play in the background for communion and maybe bring it down a notch. And we're going to take communion together as a family today. The baskets are out up here for offering, tithe. And if you give online, you can put your slip in the respective basket you wish to. I'm going to call forth Saban and Zion, and I'm going to have you guys help with the elements.
If you'll go kind of towards the middle so that when people come up there, not like they have room to go. Okay, Saban, I'm going to walk with you so we can break it together, okay? By Zion.
So today I was thinking that we would do communion together as a family. And then we'll come and get our elements and take it together today instead of separate, because we're a small number and sometimes doing things together as a family is fun. So, and I always am in a happy, rejoice kind of mood after we do DJ worship anyways, because I know there's a somberness to communion, but Jesus rejoiced and Jesus danced, and we've been studying praise and worship right now in our Bible class, and praise and worship is a sacrifice. So we're going to sacrifice together in our praise and worship as we do communion together, okay? So, Saban and I are going to break this bread, and then we're going to come up, and you're going to get your elements. And if you all will just either half circle it up here towards the front, we're going to do it together and just thank the Lord for all that he has done and continues to do, and the beauty in that, and the happiness in that. I don't always want to be sad that Jesus did this. It's beautiful and it's overwhelming and it's happy because we get to reap the benefits of what he did for us on the cross. So, and these are two beautiful gentlemen up here. Thank you for assisting. I'm going to make it a little smaller. Does anybody want to gather the folks that have gone into the other room? I don't know if they're interested right now. I just want to make sure no one misses the opportunity if they so choose to do so or would like to do so. My hands are shaking. Okay. They were so big. Okay. All right, come get your elements. Make a half circle.
just eat them.
Okay, everyone's got their elements? Okay, as we actually kind of listen to the words of this song, he's speaking out, Abba. So right now we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the brokenness of your body and all that has done for us. And we take it this morning with gladness and joy and thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your blood that covers. We thank you for your blood that was sacrificed and poured out for us. And in the same way, we pour out our sacrifice unto you in honor and in glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And if you have your tithe and offering, you may bring that. And we're going to slightly transition to Nancy and Mom. And we'll turn the music off then. That will give us time to do a quick little setup.
Yeah, we only have one microphone, so we should be good. We got to share it. there is another microphone. I guess we can have two. You good with that? Okay.
Thank you.
So, Sherry and I are going to share about evangelism this morning. It's kind of a scary word, I think, for a lot of people.
This sounds bigger than it is.
Yeah, because a lot of people get a little intimidated by the idea of evangelism. So, we wanted to talk about it and share some testimonies and everything. So our first thing was just a definition of evangelism from the dictionary. It's the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. So that's all that evangelism is talking about, is actually either preaching or talking to people.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm a person of few words. Okay.
And the gospel is the teaching or revelation of Christ. So basically it's talking to people about Jesus. That's what evangelism is.
Yeah, so that's where it started, back with Jesus, right? Wasn't he an evangelist and all his disciples? They sent them all out, two by two, to what? Preach the gospel. And that's mm-hmm. what evangelism is, basically. So it started, it could be even earlier than that. You had people that were prophets that gave words, which is, in a sense, was evangelizing at that time. So, we have all different kinds of evangelism, and so Nancy's going to list them, and then we're going to give a short synopsis of each one.
Mm-hmm. And I did also have a scripture to share just about what evangelism is, kind of the heart of it. 1 Peter 3:15 is, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." So it's the idea of sharing what's in your heart about God to others. We had some different, we wanted to just start off with talking about different types of evangelism, because, there's obviously the hard things to do versus easy things to do. And we just wanted to give kind of a range And we actually found when we talked about it that some of the things we thought were easier were kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
So one of them was prison ministry, halfway house ministry, yeah, going and talking to people that are in a really difficult position.
Yeah. And so we thought that sounded like a hard one, you know, going to prisons or going to homeless shelters or halfway houses, but actually that's one of the easier ones, because people in jail, they're hopeless. I mean, not hopeless, excuse me. They have lost their hope. Okay. So they're down, depressed, and they're not made to come into a setting. It's their choice. If you go to a homeless shelter, it's the same thing. It can be a choice to come into the meeting or not. And so they have the choice. And so you're not up against a bunch of people that are like there unwillingly. And they're all looking for something because they've lost hope and everything. So I know I've done prison ministry. I did it for about eight or nine years. And it was different every time. Every time it's different. You got different people. But some of the best things I thought were, we brought a lot of people to salvation, but was when I did inner heart healing with them. And you can do it in a group setting, like if I told all of you to close your eyes and let Jesus talk to you. You know, they would give up things, and they would actually hear Jesus for the first time in their life. And these grown men would just be sitting there with tears rolling down their face, because most of the time they heard Jesus say, "I love you." And a lot of them never hear that word from anybody. And so, you know, it just depends. Prison ministry can be good, it can be bad. Sometimes you get people that just don't care. But it's, you know, it's really good. Homeless the same way. They've lost hope. They don't have jobs. They lost their homes, whatever. But you just bring them hope. Hope of Jesus. You know, that there is something.
Yeah, and I haven't done prison ministry before, but I have gone to homeless shelters some. And, you know, it is a pretty, the context I did it was in, you know, bringing a meal. Like, as a mm-hmm. group, we'd go and we'd bring food and then get to talk to people. You know, in a group afterwards, if they wanted to stay and listen. And, you know, it's fairly easy as far as, you know, it's one of those things that's structured. It's something that you can kind of, you know what's going to happen. You're not in an unusual setting,
yeah,
you know. So as far as evangelism, actually, it's a kind of easy way of doing it,
yeah,
because you get a chance to talk to people that really need something, yeah, and they know they need something. And
one of my favorite stories from the homeless shelters, a lot of you know Robert Huey, he went here for years. We were down there, and there was probably, as in the winter time, it was probably about, I would say, close to 60 or 70 homeless guys. It was really cold outside. And so we're done with the meeting, and Robert's up there praying, and Robert had this habit of closing his eyes to pray, where I'm out in public, I open my eyes so I can see. So anyway, so Robert's there, and he's got a loud voice, and he's praying, his eyes are closed, and I'm standing there, and this guy in the back gets up, and he comes barreling down like this at me, just glaring at me, and I'm going, "Robert, Robert, Robert," and Robert's just praying away, and I'm going, "Oh, no." So the guy gets right in my face, and he goes, "I killed my brother." And I said, "Okay, is that last night, this morning?" Yeah, I mean, he's just glaring in my face, and he goes, "20 years ago." And I said, "Okay." So I said, "Okay, well, you know, we'll pray." And so anyway, to make a long story short, Robert got done praying, and so I was praying for this man, and it turns out that he said God would never forgive him. So we went through a forgiveness prayer where God forgave him. And I said, "You have to forgive yourself." And he said, "No, I can't." So I said, "Yes, you can." So we went through it, and he actually forgave himself, got salvation. His whole face changed. It got bright and smiled. And so I was praying with, I was going down the aisle praying with all these other guys, and he kept following me. And I said, "Do you have a problem? Is there something else we need to pray for?" And he goes, "You don't understand." And I said, "What?" He said, "I got out of the hospital this morning," he said, "with a broken leg and a broken wrist. And his hospital band was still on." He said, "I was dragging my leg up there at you because I was in pain because I left my crutches at the table." He said, "But when we prayed," he says, "my leg and my arm were completely healed." Now, you see, that was where I didn't do anything but pray with him. That's, you know, evangelism can be a whole bunch of different things. This man was healed from just accepting the Lord. And, you know, so things like that happen. They happened all the time. And it just gives you like a sense of, wow, Jesus is right here. He's with us, you know. So he's doing it, because I couldn't heal the man, but Jesus surely did. So that's just one of those. I love that story because the man scared me really bad. No, he didn't. Yeah, that's right.
And then the next thing we had on the list was short-term missions trips. A lot of you guys have maybe been on a short-term missions trip.
How many?
How many people have actually been?
Well you're the Carol. Missionary. You're the missionary.
And Marianne and Renee. Yeah. So I've been on some easier ones and some harder ones. Mm-hmm. The hardest thing I did was I went to Mozambique one time to a orphanage, and it was a long trip. It was like almost 2 weeks because of all the traveling and fly. You know, it takes like 18 hours to get there. And I can say one thing for sure is I don't really like missions because I'm very uncomfortable, and I like my bed and I like my stuff, and it's not a natural thing for me. There was a lot of people that went, they saw the kids, they were like, oh, I love these kids. I can't believe we have to leave. And I'm like, when are we going home? Like, literally, I'm thinking, this is just... So it's one of those things where, you know, physically and emotionally, you can either love it or hate it. Like, you know, because you can be really uncomfortable going. But the situation of being there and being able to reach people, and, you know, it's just amazing because it's such a different environment than the United States. Yeah. And you see God work in ways you never do here.
Yeah. I've been on several short-term mission trips. I've been to Guatemala a couple of times, up in the mountains to children's homes. I've been to Colombia, South America a couple of times. I've been to Belize. I've been, where was that? Yeah, Barbados. I've been to Africa. Yeah, I've been to the Philippines. But, you know, they're all different. I've never been on a mission trip that's the same. And the accommodations you might have might be different too. Sometimes it's not so bad. Other times it's not so good. But I've really enjoyed them. I mean, the short term, you know, usually 10 days to, you know, maximum 2 weeks. I think I've been 15 days or something. The short term, it's not like Carol living over there forever. But I've enjoyed them because I just enjoy doing different things. And I guess some of the ones I liked the best were in the jungles of Belize, because we hike through those jungles and go from hut to hut and, you know, just praying for the people. And I mean, I was old then, too. I was probably close to 70, but 60s, late 60s. And I mean, I slid down mudslides and stuff. Oh, there we go. Okay. But, yeah, I was okay. I'm still here. But it was just so much fun to me to go from in the jungles from hut to hut praying for these people. And most time we had to have interpreters. But it was like just seeing God work in their lives. I just so enjoyed it. And then because we went and prayed for them, we have meetings that night. They would bring people out to the meetings because somebody had been healed. And we'd see so many healings. And at the end of the night, we'd be like midnight, and we'd be trying to go back down on the mountains, and there's people lining the roads and stopping our truck and say, no, we have someone sick back here in this hut. And we'd be traipsing through the jungle with flashlights again at midnight to go to a hut to pray for somebody. But we saw so many miracle healings. It was just like, oh, God, it's so good, you know? To me, this is just a thrill. I just love it, you know? I wish I could go on more mission trips now. And the Lord's going to heal my legs. I know I'm not done yet, but, yeah, so they're all different, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's really cool with short-term missions is that, you know, I read a book by somebody that was actually more of a long-term missionary, but one of the things they said was, you know, you realize that Jesus is enough, that you're sharing Jesus with people. Sometimes you don't have the resources to really give them what you think they need, like food or money or shelter, those kinds of things. But the heart is you're sharing Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we're God's messenger about who he is and who Jesus is, and that he wants to be reconciled to them. So it's a really unique opportunity.
Yeah.
And then the next one we had was street evangelism. And, you know, this gets a little tougher because the other two are very organized kinds of things. Although lots of amazing things happen.
Yeah.
It's an organized trip.
Definitely.
It's an organized activity. Street evangelism, or we also put Holy Spirit Adventure, where
yes.
you might have a specific day where you pray and ask the Holy Spirit for things to share with people.
Treasure hunts.
With people, which can be exciting because you see what the Holy Spirit is preparing you to share with people. But it's also much more difficult. Sherry has a lot of stories about this.
Yeah, I spent several years, several years out in the streets doing street evangelism. And it can be really difficult at times because I've been here in the streets where I have been cussed up one side and down the other and told where I could go and it's how fast I could get there. And then I've had other times where the people are just so receptive. But it's very hard. You have to be careful how you approach people. You don't come on full strong saying, oh, Jesus wants to, you know, you just talk to them in a conversation, and then you say, how's your vacation here? And ask if they need prayer. If they say no, say, well, can we bless your vacation? Oh, please. Well, you know that you start, like, you bless their vacation, you know, you pray for them. And then they say, oh, well, could you pray for this? And so, you know, we led a lot of people to the, in the streets to Christ, but it was very difficult sometimes. Sometimes we go home kind of discouraged. But I had a, I started out with a bunch of young adults that I was leading, but then I went to kids. I had kids from 11 to 18. That was my best outreach team ever. Audrey, your girls are prime candidates because it's the kids didn't know how to pray. I took them in the streets. I did all the praying at first, but they learned to pray. They learned to hold their hands of people. These kids would get, when one was praying, the other ones would get visions and prophetic words. I didn't have to pray anymore. All these kids, and this kid saw miracle healings. They saw salvations. They begged to go with me. I had to sometimes have Renee drive another car because I couldn't get him in my car. We go out of town. I took the kids to Tennessee. I took them to Alabama. I took them to North Carolina. Oh, yeah, the parents let me. But we did all kinds. I mean, it was so much fun. But the kids would get discouraged sometimes. In street evangelism, there is some discouragement because people are not always receptive. But you know, it's still like, it's well worth it. You know, sometimes like we think, oh, only adults can go. No, kids can go. Kids hear the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we think like the only, you know, we think of great evangelists like Billy Graham, T.G. Jakes, all these people, and they have thousands and thousands of people that they get saved. But Lord's after the one. He, you know, if you only get one, that's, the Lord wants that one as much as he wants that hundred over there, you know. So, you know, you don't have to be out there with crowds and crowds. You can just be one-on-one because that's what the Lord wants, all of us, every last one of us.
And then we'll go ahead and talk about kind of what we thought was maybe the hardest type of evangelism, and that's family and friends, unfortunately, because we have a relationship with them that's outside of, you know, sharing, and so we have to navigate that of, are they ready to hear something? Are they receptive? Are they, you know, are we just going to put a barrier between us by saying something, you know, at what point? And a lot of this is, it's a lifestyle evangelism, because they're going to see what's going on with us in the Lord, and they're going to be, you know, looking for, at some point, they're going to need something or be looking for something. And we have an opportunity to share with them. But I think in a lot of ways, prayer is key with this one, especially, is you have to just be, you know, praying for them. And it might not be you that gets to share.
That's right.
It might be somebody else that the Lord sends. So it's a tough one.
How many of you had somebody in your family pray for you and you just kind of ignored them because, you know, my sister prayed for me for 32 years. I was a hardhead. And so she prayed for me. You know, I tell her, I don't want to hear it. I want to hear it because to me, she was just like this goody-goody two-shoes, and I was this horrible person that did everything she wanted to do. But, you know, she prayed for me for 32 years. When I finally accepted the Lord in my life, she said, I wanted to give up on you so many times. I got so mad, and I yell at God. But God said, just keep praying. So, you know, sometimes she went out the wrong way because she was, like, making me feel guilty rather than making me feel loved. But the thing is, she prayed. She never stopped. And so when you're praying for some of your family, even if you're not praying with them but for them, just remember, don't give up. Don't give up. God's put you on a mission to pray for those people. I know I've had kids that are kind of hard-headed, too, you know, and I don't talk to them too much about it anymore because they get my face. But, you know, thing, I don't quit praying for them. So it's a little difficult. Like I said, my sister had me for a hard head. But, you know, just don't give up. It's hard to pray for friends and family. I mean, not hard to pray for them, but it's hard to, yeah, to share with them and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've got some family that's kind of the same as, you know, I've said as much as I can. And, you know, you have to leave it in the Lord's hands and just continue to pray for them. But next, we wanted to kind of move this into talking about keys for evangelism, because there's some things that are true in every situation and time when you're looking to talk to people. And I think one of the key, well, we'll go ahead and go through it in order. But let me share another verse, because I think this gets, again, to the heart of what God has for us in evangelism. Is Matthew 9:35-38. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So that's, you know, his heart is, he's preparing people to receive him, and he's asking us to participate in that, in bringing that harvest in. And so that's a lot of it. But we wanted to share these keys because I think they help us prepare our hearts to be ready when the opportunity comes, to be ready.
Yeah. Be ready. That's a key word right there, be ready, you know, when the opportunity comes. And so, well, I'll have to say Nancy did all the typing and writing out. We sat together and made them out, but I didn't print them. So I don't even have a computer. Can you believe that? In this day and age, computers aren't what they're cracked up to be. Okay, so the first one we had was asking the Holy Spirit to guide you and being aware of what He, meaning God, is revealing about evangelism. Be adaptable. Each person is different. That means you're not going to use the same format to everyone you talk to. Some people, you know, you can come head on with them. Other people, you're going to have to just, you know, go gently and, you know, maybe just in conversations or the way you act around them or the way you talk. You can even, you know, be talking, like I have a neighbor and she comes over and she rants, she comes over to rant and rave to me. She lets out all of her stuff, you know, at my house, which is fine because she's got a lot of stuff to let go of. But the thing is, she always calms down when I listen. I listen, she calms down, and I just say, well, let's pray about it. So she'll say, okay. And actually her son and her daughter, all three, got salvation at my table one day. And I didn't do anything. They started forgiving each other. And then they, you know, I said, well, do you want to take the Lord? And you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. So it was really, you know, I didn't do it. But the Holy Spirit was there. So you just have to remember, you know, listen and just, yeah.
Yeah, the evangelism is really a work of the Holy Spirit. And you know, we're participating, but He's doing the heavy lifting. And so when we have that opportunity, we just have to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's saying to us, because it's important, because each person is in a different place.
That's right.
Some people are at the beginning of just asking God about God, and some people are at the point of they need to, you know, they know they need to turn their life over to Him. And so knowing how to approach somebody is important. Mm-hmm. Sherry already touched a little bit on the next one, but it's be a good listener. You know, it's not all about what you have to say. A lot of times it's about what that person needs to get off their chest to share.
Yeah, really, because once they get it off, they just want, you know, most people come from a situation and they say, no one listens to me, no one hears me, nobody cares. Okay, that's a bad place, but that's where a lot of people come from. And when you do sit down and listen to them, you don't have to say much, because it's just them being able to tell somebody that actually thinks that they care about them. You know, and then, you know, because say you can offer prayer or whatever, you know, or give your own two cents, but do it gently, you know. So.
Yeah, and the next one is just being ready to share the gospel. Do you know how to share the gospel in a really easy way? And we have a couple of things that, one I came across with children's ministry, and it's just called the ABC of the gospel. And if you remember ABC, then you can share the gospel with somebody. And that is, you know, to accept that you have sinned. Accept that you've got things wrong in your life. B is believe that Jesus is your has died for your sins, that he is your salvation, that's that God sent him because he loves us so much, to just believe. And then the third is see, confess, and that's just to actually say a prayer to confess that you believe in Jesus and want to follow him. Mm-hmm. And it's as simple as that. You know, if you can remember ABC, then you have something in your head to help guide you through if you're talking mm-hmm. to somebody. The other one is colors.
Yeah, it was the five colors. Now, I did children's church for years, and I didn't ever hear these until Nancy told me. I said, I've been evangelizing the streets for 15 years, and I never even heard these things before. I said, oh, but they're kind of like something natural that you kind of pick up anyway as you go along, mm-hmm. and I guess they were never told to me just like this, but the other one was the five colors of evangelism. It was black, red, white, green, and yellow. And, you know, I always did, like at Christmas time, wreaths and stuff, and we took the wreaths around to people's houses and gave them out, you know, to people. But we, you know, you just always said green, you know, green is for life, circle for completeness. You know, we just always made up our own, but it was always good. But anyway, black here, it says, is sin and separation from Christ. Okay? The red represents the blood of Jesus and payment for sins. The white represents purity and the gift of eternal life. Green represents growth and drawing closer to God. I always put in there life too, like because you think of something's growing, it gives you life. And yellow represents heaven and God's plan for our lives. And like I said, I never heard of them. I mean, like using them like that until Nancy told me. I said, oh, that might have been easier if I'd known that way back when.
Yeah, because yeah, that's one thing we kind of wanted was just to be a little practical with this, because sometimes that's what holds us back from sharing with somebody is we don't know what to say. And having a simple way of helping people walk through a salvation prayer is a great tool. The other thing is knowing how to share what God's done for you, your testimony, in just a minute or two. Because we tend to want to talk too much. You know, and like we already said, a lot of times people are wanting us to talk to us, and we need to be able to share our testimony in a short way that will help them understand what God has done in our lives. And so for me, that might be, I don't know, I haven't really practiced this in a long time, but something like, you know, I got saved when I was really young. I was only 5. My mom had gotten saved, so, you know, she shared the gospel with me, and I started following Christ, and I grew up in church. But I found that as I got older, that I had to, you know, look at that several more times. You know, I had to give my life to him again as I got older and I became more mature, and I started figuring out what sin was, right, what the sin that was in my heart. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there were several moments in my childhood where I was able to give my life to him again and renew that commitment. And, you know, as you get older and as I've gotten older, you know, there's issues that come up. There's things that come up that help me see that I need him even more today than I did when I was a little kid. And, you know, and that's, you know, my testimony is that, you know, I always need him. And he's always willing to be there and to give me solutions to help guide me to be a part of my life. And so that would kind of be my testimony in a really short form.
My testimony in a really short form would be, I ran in the opposite direction of God. I was told very young that only 144,000 were going to go to heaven anyway, so why should I try? Because I was already a bad kid. I mean, I was the neighborhood scrapper. I would beat everybody up that I could beat up, which was everybody. So I figured I'd never go to heaven, so I shouldn't try. So I didn't, and I just ran for years. People, I heard the gospel from people. I even tried salvation one time. I said the words to make somebody happy, but it wasn't like salvation because I just kept doing what I wanted to do. But God gave me a dream. You know, God works in a serious way. So he gave me a dream one night playing with these, well, I was walking down a road and these snakes, three deadly snakes jumped out and bit my heel. And I woke up and I said, okay, God, I will go to church, but not this Sunday because I have something planned. So I didn't. So the next Sunday went like I told him. And I ran, as soon as service was over, I ran out that back door as fast as I could run. Now I was 55 years old. And so the next Sunday went, I ran out that back door as fast as I could run. Next Sunday I went, I mean, I was being good. I was going to church like I told God I would. That Sunday, some lady got in the church and she says, I had a dream last night for some lady in here. She's messing with three deadly snakes, and they will bite and they will kill. And I said, okay, God, I got you. So I was the first one at that altar that Sunday. I accepted the Lord in my life, and I turned my life completely around, dropped all my friends, I dropped all my habits. I just said, that's it, I'm here. And so from there, that was 19 and a half years ago. So from there, I just changed. But it took all those years because I ran like as fast as I could run in the opposite direction. And, you know, so salvation is different to everybody. And I had people witness to me over the years, and people try, you know, drag me to this church and drag me to that church. And I just kept running. So you never give up. You just keep praying for people. And, you know, because what you plant as a seed, somebody else may water it. And eventually, you know, it took a dream from God to bring me. But I knew he meant business. I knew I was going to die if I didn't. And that year, actually, I fell and broke my neck, was paralyzed from the neck down. You can see how good God is. I'm not paralyzed. So, you know, you just have to just trust that whatever you speak to somebody, it's going to be valuable.
Okay. The next thing is just take the opportunity. Because, like we've said several times, is the Holy Spirit is working in people's lives. And he gives us opportunities to share the gospel. And we have to be not too busy to actually see those opportunities. We have to be open to him speaking to us and telling us when we should speak. Right. And so a lot of it is just having a soft heart to the Holy Spirit to hear when he's nudging us to talk to somebody. And it can be a stranger. It could be a prompting to go on a missions trip. It could be, you know, prompting to join a ministry that visits a homeless shelter or the jail. Or it could be, you know, talking to a friend or a neighbor.
Right.
You know, it can be any of those. But it's just, you know, he doesn't leave us alone in this. It's not that we have to come up with some great thing to say. We are just cooperating with what he's already doing. And just giving voice to what he wants to say to that person. And so it's a great opportunity, but, you know, we have to be open to it.
That's right.
So just remember, we may not be T.G. Jakes or Billy Graham or somebody like that, but we're still God's children. And there's all kinds of ways to evangelize. And there's all kinds. And never be afraid to open your mouth if the Holy Spirit's nudging you. Just remember, if that lady hadn't said that dream that day that she had, I may not be here. So, yep, so just open your mouth when it's time.
Yeah, and that's our challenge to you, is to be prepared mentally and spiritually to listen and to say something when God gives you the opportunity. Don't let fear, because, you know, one of the other things is, you know, there is a gift of evangelism that is part of the church, and there's people that have that evangelistic gift. Sherry might be one of them. And they find it really easy to share the gospel with people. They are naturally going to, you know, my mom was one of those people, and it just flows out of you. You're around people, you want to talk to them about the Lord. For the rest of us, it's a bit more challenging. Our personality is not wired that way. And so we don't look for every opportunity. It is a stretch. But God, it's kind of like prophecy. You know, there's prophets that have that gift, but the Bible says that we should all want to prophesy because it's an encourager, or it's a builder up, or, you know, that's not a word, but it's a way to build other people up. So, you know, evangelism is the same way. We all have that calling in our lives because the Lord's told us. And actually, my last scripture is the one from Mark. Well, this is the version in Mark, but it's when Jesus was about to return to heaven. Mm-hmm. And he gave a word to the disciples, and he said, this is Mark 16:15-18, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they'll pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." So it's a real powerful prophecy, but it starts with sharing the gospel is being willing to let the Lord use you.
Yeah, so anybody wants prayer or anything, we'll be up here to lay hands on you or pray for you. And don't be afraid. You all have the Holy Spirit in you. You all know the Lord. So when the opportunity comes, just take it and, you know, yeah, and just go with it, yeah.
Yeah, so we want to say a blessing over everybody.
Thank you, Jesus, for each and every person that's here today. Thank you, Lord, that they have come to worship you, to praise you, to honor you. And whatever message that we can give them to help them along, we just thank you, Lord, that you are in it. May they take this message of evangelism to heart, that they can go and they can speak to others and pray for others when the need or the urge arises. We just thank you, Lord. We bless each one of them in every step that they take in their daily lives, in their thoughts, in their prayers, in their home lives. We just ask them to just look to you, Lord, always, just to be close to you, that you will tell them and lead them exactly what they have to do. And we just pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.